11 minutes past six. All right. Bill Shorten or Anthony Albanese? That's the choice. It's a choice that ALP caucus members will vote on, all 86 members. It's a choice that the rank-and-file members will vote on. They've got until 5pm tomorrow to choose. The caucus met this afternoon to cast their votes. We won't know their results, though, until Sunday. We won't know the results of the whole process. I'm joined now, though, by ALP Federal President Jenny McAllister. Thank you very much for your time.
Hello, Waleed. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, I imagine everyone connected with the Labor Party is giddy with excitement, looking forward to the result that's coming on Sunday. But there is an interesting thing that's developing. All the reporting, it seems to suggest that caucus will back Bill Shorten and the rank and file will back Anthony Albanese. Now, if that comes to pass, what message is it going to send to the rank and file of the Labor Party, and indeed to the whole country, if the decision of caucus ultimately ends up outweighing the decision of the rank-and-file members?
Well, it won't really be a matter of outweighing, because the caucus's contribution is 50% of the vote and the rank-and-file's contribution forms the other 50%. What I do think is that it's been really quite a robust process, and, you know, my job over the last 3 years as the party president has been to go around and talk to our members, and the single thing they have asked for repeatedly is to have more say in the operations of the party.
Well, and so, yes, exactly. And I can understand this gives them more say than they had previously. But if, for example,
indeed,
the caucus votes in favour of Bill Shorten, there are 86 members. So let's say that, 50 members vote for Bill Shorten. The rank and file, in order to outweigh that, would have to vote for Anthony Albanese by a very significant percentage, because of
indeed
the disproportionate weight that each member of caucus has in comparison to each rank and file member. So if ultimately the rank and file doesn't get their way, the fact they've been part of this process doesn't necessarily help them, does it? It sends a pretty strange message that the party is ultimately choosing something the rank and file don't want.
Look, we don't know what the result will be. I think one of the things to bear in mind is that in the caucus and in the rank and file, I think all of our voters are sensible to the merits of both candidates. So I've talked to a lot of people who are genuinely undecided, can see merit in either. It's not quite the polarising contest that you might imagine. So I personally think that when the votes between the two constituencies are combined and we get an answer, there's going to be a lot of support for the person who's been elected. And I think that we'll go, we don't really know the outcomes for either ballot, but I'm really confident that people are going to get behind the candidate. And look, what has this process actually meant for members? You know, it's meant that they've been able to get out into forums, face-to-face with the candidates. They've been in forums, I think, in most of the capital cities around the country and some regional cities as well, and actually ask questions, put their view for the first time in a national forum, you know, around what Labor ought to be and what our story ought to be. There's much more to it than just the vote. The process itself has been extremely enlivening and really exciting, I think, for all our people.
Okay, the way the process works, though, I assume I'm correct in saying that it's weighted in percentage terms. So
yeah,
the rank and file, because let's assume they go in opposite directions, the rank and file will be assessed, broken down to a percentage support
that's
for
right
one, and then that's weighed against percentage support for caucus and the other. Is that right?
That's right. And you add the two together and divide them by two, and that's their total vote out of 100.
So in that circumstance, I mean, if this is going to be a permanent feature of the way the Labor Party selects its leaders, it's going to take a pretty hefty rank and file vote ever really to overcome what caucus has to say, because there are just so many more rank and file members than there are in caucus.
Look, it's certainly the case that a Member of Parliament's vote is worth a lot more than an individual member of the party. And I think, you know, that's a characteristic shared with the other major organisations that do it this way, including the British Labor Party and the New Zealand Labor Party. I think that that's fine. It's obviously very important that the MPs who work day to day with the person who's the leader of our party have a really significant say. But it's also important for our future that we actually get our people involved. And frankly, for a long time, I think that we haven't done well by our members. It was one of the reasons I ran for president, because we really haven't looked after our members. And this has been a really important step in bringing them back in the fold. Not the only step, but a really important one.
So when you have an election like this, and I suppose it is an election, isn't it? It's a mini election. Who scrutinises it? How do you make sure everybody's happy with the process?
Well, you'll be unsurprised to hear that there's quite a lot of interest from each candidate in having scrutineers present at various elements of the process. And we'll start counting the ballots. Our returning officer will start counting the ballots tomorrow in Canberra. And I imagine, I haven't confirmed this, but each candidate will have be entitled to have scrutineers in the room. And I imagine that they'll take that offer up. It's a long and age-old tradition in the Labor Party, scrutinising all sorts of ballots, and we've had quite a bit of practice.
Okay, and then when it comes to, once you've got the leader selected, you've got a deputy leader to appoint and shadow cabinet, caucus will have control over that process as it used to in the pre-Rudd era, I imagine, is that right?
That's correct, and they're going to do that on Monday. Okay. So the caucus is convening again on the Monday.
So given the reporting that we've seen that suggests that the voting within the caucus is going to be largely along factional lines. So there might be some from the left who end up voting for Bill Shorten, but not many. It'll be largely along factional lines. And given that caucus will then appoint the deputy leader and the shadow cabinet, is there a problem here in that even by trying to democratise the process, Labor's still not able to break its factional fault lines?
Look, I think you're right to imply that it'd be a good thing if we did break our factional fault lines. And the story for Labor over the last 20 years has actually been a demobilising of some of the very deep divisions that characterised the party from the 60s through really to the 80s. I really support that, and I think that it's important that all of us do our best to put the party first and, in fact, the national interest first, rather than factional alliance. Your observation, I honestly don't know how the caucus ballot will work on Monday and how people will behave and how they'll choose to exercise their vote. It's a secret ballot, of course, so you don't ever really know. But I imagine, you know, for a long time we've had a real focus on merit in that national caucus rather than factions. That actually all, that the rigid factionalisation of that caucus broke down in the Hawke-Keating ballots, actually, and I hope that that's the future for the caucus. But actually, that's not in my hands. That's up to them.
Right, okay. Just finally then, there's been some commentary that I think is interesting about the fact that there hasn't been an opposition leader. I mean, there's been an interim opposition leader, but not one that carries the imprimatur of the whole party and will be the opposition leader for a long period to come. There's really been an absence of opposition to what the new government, and the new government has had some stumbles and there have been all sorts of expenses claims that have gotten some headlines and so on. There have been opportunities for the opposition to attack, but they haven't yet. Has this ultimately been a missed opportunity for the Labor Party?
Well, there's always trade-offs, aren't there? I actually think Chris Bowen's done a great job, and I think he'll be one of the heroes of this story. He's done a terrific job taking it up to the government. But in the long game, we've got, you know, possibly 3 years in opposition, 3 years to press the case against Tony Abbott. I think spending a month where we invest in sorting out our leadership and getting a leader with a lot of legitimacy and involving our members is probably a trade-off worth making.
Thank you very much for your time, Jenny.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Waleed.
Jenny McAllister, ALP Federal President. 20 minutes past six. Sorry, I just got a text from Alan. It makes no difference to rank and file. Imagine if there were only the same number of rank and file members as caucus. The weighting doesn't change if there are 86 or 86,000 rank and file members. Yeah, that's true. So the more rank and file members there are voting, the less each vote is worth. I've just done some sums. I'll explain what I mean a bit later. I'm going to think this through and then I'll get your reactions. 0418 226 576 or find us on Twitter at RNDrive.